I am from Trinity College, which is affiliated with the University of Melbourne, and you can probably tell from my accent that I am indeed Australian. I'm going to be talking to you about what we learnt from setting up configuration management for a fleet of student iPads. So, we have about 700 international students in the particular program that we used iPads for, and they do a one-year program in what we call Foundation Studies, which bridges between their high school education, typically in countries in Southeast Asia, and if they successfully complete our program, they get guaranteed entry into the University of Melbourne, which is pretty attractive for them. And we had this trial where we looked at using iPads in this provision of this course. And the way we looked at it, at doing it, the students would get to keep their iPad at the end of the course. So this is kind of a little incentive as well. And we have 700 students, as I said. We also have about 100 staff who would be involved in teaching this course, and would be turning over their iPads every couple of years. That's the last I'm going to mention, staff. What we're talking about here is what we designed for the students to use. So we began this trial with 44 students in August of 2010, a pilot program with a small group of staff who were going to teach it. And at the end of that program, we did an assessment, and we found that there were good educational outcomes from using the technology, which is always good when you actually get good educational outcomes rather than just using technology for technology's sake. And so we got the go-ahead to roll this out to all of the students in this cohort, in this particular program. And so since August 2011, when we rolled out, we've distributed 845 student iPads so far. Very quick overview. I'm going to talk a little bit about configuration management for iOS devices and how we handled this this process originally using Apple's iPhone Configuration Utility, or IPCU, which also works for any iOS device, iPad, iPhone. The main subject of this talk is the web app I've written called iOS Configurator. Sorry, not a very exciting name. We look under the hood, look at some of the security issues and other issues that we encountered in its use, and try to come up with some lessons learned that perhaps can be passed on. So configuration management for iOS devices, the most obvious form of that is essentially no management at all, but really just you poking in settings, using the settings app manually. And anyone who's used an iOS device would be familiar with that. The configuration management layer on top of that really just takes those settings, puts them into an XML file, and you put that XML file onto the device, and it picks them up and adjusts your settings appropriately. And that's the very basic level of what's going on. So Apple provides the IPCU to do this, whereby you've got a nice graphical interface, you set up all the configuration settings you want, and that creates a file that you can save. But more importantly, when you plug your device in using USB, you will get to download that configuration to the device. There are also a number of other systems to do this task. Apple Configurator is another one. The OS X Lion server has a new product called Profile Manager. Also, really, you can download a configuration profile from anywhere, but you probably want to know where you're getting it from because it's going to muck around with your configuration settings. Apple's also got a more sophisticated management approach, which is one where the device is remotely managed without user interaction, which is called mobile device management. And there are a number of products which use that functionality. And we decided pretty early on that this is not what we really wanted to do, because we wanted the students to be in control of the devices. And with mobile device management, really, the institution retains ultimate control, and we can do whatever we want with the device. Not really what we wanted. At the point where we were starting this project, We decided we didn't want mobile device management, and these other technologies that I've grayed out here, they weren't released yet. And if you know Apple, if something's not released, it's not even announced. So we didn't know what was coming. So we were really left with IPCU or, you know, download the profile from somewhere else. If you were starting a similar program today, what I would recommend, though, is to start by looking at Profile Manager, because it does most of what we were interested in doing, and it's now a product and, you know, good place to start. But this is the situation we found ourselves in. So this was our initial approach, and this is what we did with our group of 44 students in the pilot program. Okay, so we knew that we only had a small number of people. The main thing we wanted to do was get these things configured, because we knew that if we were going to teach, if we were going to lead the students into configuring these devices themselves, they'd never get it right, because our configuration requirements were a little bit complicated. So we used IPCU, we created the profile we wanted, and then we saved that into an XML file, which we then hand edited. And what we wanted to do with that was to remove a number of places where there were unique UIDs. And those unique UIDs are used in the XML file to do cross-references. So, for instance, the Wi-Fi configuration has a reference to the certificate that's needed, and that certificate's also included in the config. And those, that link is done by using the same UID. So we pulled out the UIDs that had been inserted by IPCU, and we put in templates, which we were then going to substitute in later. And then we had a little Python script that took our list of students, and in particular their usernames. We looked up some information from LDAP, their name, and as it happens, and we'll talk about this later, we grabbed their clear text password, which we'd had to put into LDAP just for this purpose. And for each of these students, we then generated their own .mobile config file, which was saved, and then there was a manual process of one by one loading these configuration profiles into IPCU, plugging in a new iPad fresh out of the box into the computer via USB and putting the profile on, then carefully labelling that iPad as belonging to that student, putting it back into the box and doing the next one. As you can tell, a time-consuming, labour-intensive task. So these were the problems. Clearly, that doesn't scale to 700 students. That manual process of editing the template was error-prone and difficult to test as well. And we had this issue that we needed to put a clear text password into LDAP, because we were configuring every aspect of their accounts. So that meant authentication to get onto the wireless network, authentication to retrieve their email, calendar info, that kind of stuff. And I'll talk about the security implications of that later. And if we decided at some point that we wanted to change the configuration we'd given everyone, we would need to bring all their iPads back and repeat the process. So that's clearly impractical. So IPCU, no, that's not our solution for us. So this led us to this list of requirements that we wanted to meet. And as is often the way in education, it seemed logical to us that we would build our own solution. It needed to be automatic, scalable, simplify the template preparation, avoid the need for a clear text password to be stored anywhere, though of course the student would need to enter it to authenticate in the first place, to allow reconfiguration, to be quick to implement. We didn't have a lot of resources to throw at this, and we also had to be able to do it with the existing skills that our staff had, which in this case was my skill set. So this is what we came up with. It uses... The name is iOS Configurator. I'm sorry, I'm not good with picking interesting or inventive names. It uses the Django web framework, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. It's a very small piece of code, 167 lines of Python code, including comments. There's 220 lines of settings, which is almost all just the default Django boilerplate. It was about 1 week in development total. It's fairly minimal resource requirement, so it's just running on a little VM using Apache, ModWhiskey, MySQL, OpenLDAP, all very common technologies and ones we already had some experience with. And in the case of OpenLDAP, that was what we had installed for everything else. And it was accessed over HTTPS, providing security, over an open wireless network. Because one of the things we were configuring was the wireless network which we wanted the students to use for production, which was closed and required a certificate and you had to authenticate to. So obviously we've got a chicken and egg problem. If we're going to get them the configuration to get on that network, they need to be on that network. So we started with an open wireless network which had no security and anyone could jump on. But the only thing you could do on that network was access this configuration tool. And of course, if you didn't have an account, you couldn't do anything. All right, so I'm not brave or crazy enough to attempt a demonstration, so I'm just going to show you some screenshots. That's the simple login page. Username, password, login. And then you come to this page. And really the only thing of interest here is there's a link to say download now. And you click on that link. And at that point, on the iPad, the settings app comes up. And up comes this prompt to install the profile. And you can see there that the profile, as well as the description which we've provided, lists the contents of what this profile is going to configure. It's two certificates, a Wi-Fi network, a CalDAV account, a web clip, which is just a link, an Exchange account, and a password policy. And you know, you can put whatever you need in there, but that was our list of requirements. So at this point, you can actually see what you need to what's going to be configured. Sorry, yeah, quick
question. Can you cause an application to be installed as well?
No. It's a tricky situation. That kind of thing you can do with mobile device management, which is the more kind of managed approach. But with this approach, no, you can't. And so the next step in this whole process for our students was, right, now you're going to download some apps. So yeah, that's a bit unfortunate. But just a limitation of the technology that Apple provides. Yes, it's a link. So we can link to an app on the App Store and the students can download. Or what we do is we link to a web page where we list all the apps with links, and that's a step that the students then go through to download the apps that we're going to require they have.
So a very quick question.
Yep.
Do the students override those settings that you put in manually afterwards?
They can, yes. So we didn't want to force the students to do anything, which means that they can also remove this profile, okay? Because this is their iPad. When they finish the course, they want to remove it because it's not going to be relevant anyway. So you can have varying degrees of control, but with this approach of installing configuration on an iPad, the user has fundamental control. With mobile device management, there's an opportunity to take that control away, but that's not what we were interested in doing. Okay, so that essentially, once they've clicked install there, that's the process over for the students. So next I want to show you the admin side of that, how we set things up. So one of the great things about Django is you get an admin web interface essentially for free. You put in a line of code saying, give me an admin interface for this particular data model. So we use this for loading the templates. So we set this up so that you could give a different configuration profile depending on which group a user was in. We have this custom LDAP attribute called TC group, which is set for all of our users, and that was the key we used. So to load a template in, all you really do is you prepare it in IPCU the same way we did before, and then you cut and paste, and you paste it in there. And then when you save that page, there's some custom save logic which says, okay, I need to adjust this, I need to do that template variable substitution I talked about before, and all of that happens in the background and it's just done. So it's relatively easy to put this hook into the interface to do this custom save logic. We also keep track of each download in case we need to go back and diagnose a problem. Did somebody actually successfully download this configuration? And so we can look at when individual users downloaded the profile. So a little bit about under the hood with Django. It's a web application framework. How many people have heard of Django? Anyone used it? A few people. Okay, so I won't spend too much time on this. It's, you know, all the rage. Ruby on Rails started this whole thing off, I think. Well, there's other stuff going before that. It's based around models, templates, and views. It's an object relational mapper where you store your data, your models in a database, a relational database. A built-in template engine for rendering HTML. We actually used the Python string.template library for rendering our profile templates just because. That's what we used originally in our first script. It runs everywhere. There's a link to the project. It's simple, powerful, efficient, and I knew it, which was one of the key things. And it's also extremely well documented. If you want to see an example of a well-documented open source project, have a look at this. So here's what was happening. When the user logs in, we're going to capture their username and password, and in particular, we're going to hang on to that password. We're going to authenticate against LDAP, look up the information we need to put into the profile, their username, their name, and then we pick the profile based on their group. That gives us the template we're going to use, and we put the captured details, that's the username and the password, which we're just holding onto in that session, and generate some UUID values to be put into the template to make it a valid configuration template. And having done all that, we just provide a link to download the file we've prepared. The process for the administrator is, as I said, we use IPC to create the profile, including whatever things you need. These are some of the things we used. Instead of using an actual username and an actual password in the configuration profile that you're, sorry, in the configuration you're entering during into IPCU, we put these variables. So $TC user, TC standing for Trinity College, $TC pass, $TC full name, and our code is going to look for those and substitute in the actual user's details where appropriate. Export the profile, and as I showed, paste it into the Django admin page, and you're done. Security is important in this particular application because we're talking about authentication credentials. We're talking about configuring somebody's device. They need to know that they're actually getting a legitimate configuration, even though, to be honest, the security awareness of this cohort of students is not high at all. But security was important. We knew that we wanted this to be a solid solution. So it runs over HTTPS. It uses a commercial SSL certificate, which means that the authentication process is secure and the process of downloading the profile is also secure. The Django framework provides a session functionality so that the download link is protected by the session. You can only download if you've actually logged in. And it also protects against cross-site request forgery, which is a possibility whenever you've got forms being entered. The users get to see what's in the profile before they install it, so they have that option, and they can remove it at any point. So we're not locking the users into anything. ClearText passwords created the most comments from the reviewers, providing feedback on my paper, and with good reason. I think we all understand as system administrators that having clear text passwords around is not good practice, and it's a fairly dangerous thing to be playing with. But for our use case, we found that putting clear text passwords into the configuration profiles gave us a very smooth, seamless installation process for the users, and that's something we very much wanted. Our students are coming to our course on the first or the second day in our country. With English as a second language, they are being asked to do a fairly technical process, and it's one of 10 things they do that day. And so we wanted a process that was very seamless. We looked at the increased risks of including these clean text passwords, and we actually felt that they weren't that great. So for instance, the profile, once it's been downloaded to the device, is you can't access it, you can't read it. and you can't actually go into the settings and see what password has been entered. So we think it might be possible to recover that configuration profile if you've got physical access to the device and you can kind of hack into it somehow. This is one of the areas where Apple isn't very forthcoming in details on what's possible, but we believe that's a possibility. Also, once the passwords are on the device through the configuration profile, they are added to the keychain, which provides encryption. Now, there's some details in the printed paper about possible vulnerabilities with keychain, but I don't have time to talk about that here. And as I alluded to, the idea of discussing these security concerns with students is rather tricky given their typical limited English skills at that point, and what we are talking about is a fairly complicated topic. So that's something we feel we probably can still do some work on. Very quickly, just some of the issues that we encountered. iOS has captive network support, which means that it detects if it's on a network which can't get out into the internet and pops up a web page, which is presumably the page you use to log in. Now, when we tested our iOS configurator, we found that while this was helpful to be popping up the login page, when you came to download the configuration profile, that window you saw, which prompts you to install it, that actually pops up underneath the web page. So there's no way of clicking on it. that's not what we wanted to happen. So what we ended up having to do was to circumvent the captive network support detection by allowing the probes that it sends out to actually succeed. So it doesn't think it's on a captive network. And the only trade-off then was we had to get the students to actually open a browser and try to enter a URL, which would then redirect them to the page we wanted them to go to. The other issue we encountered was a little bit embarrassing. The first time we did this in August 2011 with 50 students, we had some wireless network issues, which were kind of unrelated, but it meant that we only ever had one or two students accessing this site at a time. And that hid the problem that we encountered with the next deployment in February of the following year, where we exhausted memory on the web server. And it didn't happen before because we'd never had a group of people all accessing the site at the same time. And in this instance, what had happened is that the person leading the trial, leading the process, also arranged that everyone started at exactly the same time. So they created an artificially high load. Anyway, it was a simple reconfiguration of Apache to fix that. So, conclusions. Some of the things we learned is the benefit of continual improvement. You hear people like Jeff Halperin talking about you start with a manual system, you document it, Tom Limoncelli as much as Jeff, and you end up with an automatic, in this case a self-service system, and that's what we needed. The template editing was fiddly, so we managed to automate that, so we remove an error-prone process. Functional testing in a production environment is what turned up the captive network support problem, but we didn't do the load test as well as the functional test, and that surprised us. But the overall conclusion is that Django proved a very useful tool for turning what was a simple Python script into a user-facing web app. And my recommendation is if you don't currently have experience with Django or a lightweight web framework such as Flask, consider adding that to your toolkit of sysadmin tools, because I think it can provide useful solutions to problems such as this. And now we have 5 minutes for questions. Oh, sorry, an acknowledgement to Mark Roth, who was the shepherd for my paper, who provided some excellent feedback and comments. Questions? Yes? So the question is, what in iOS could prevent students from changing the settings that we'd installed? And the answer is that in iOS, under the mobile device management way of doing things, you can essentially lock the settings onto the device. And you can do it in a number of different ways, but essentially you can prevent them from changing it. Fundamentally, they do have the option of wiping the device, which gets rid of everything, but you can lock things down so it's completely controlled. And with the IPCU, mobile config download approach, that level of control is not actually possible. But that's what we wanted. We wanted that freedom. Yes?
Have you abandoned your tool now that the Apple stuff is out?
No, we haven't. It's working for us at the moment, and we're happy with the way it's working. I think if we came to... Sorry, I should repeat the question. Have we abandoned our tool now that there are other tools out there? If we came to the point that we needed to do something different that the Apple tools did and our tool didn't, I think we would say, okay, it's probably not worth spending more time developing our tool. Let's just adopt this other one. Similarly, if I left and we felt that the documentation and the system I'd left behind was not suitable for somebody else to take on, then we'd consider moving. Also, we're looking at using a different system for configuring of staff iPads, where we think the balance of security issues is a little bit different. Yes?
With the success of this pilot, if you will, is there interest in giving the college students, not just the students with this program, the ability to do this type of configuration on things other than iDevices, like Android devices? Is there some interest in extending this infrastructure?
Okay, so given this has been successful, what about other students? Could we extend this infrastructure to Android and other devices? We've not looked at that. This particular group of students is very special in that their curriculum is tightly controlled. The other students in our college are already at the University of Melbourne and could be doing any kind of course. And we haven't got the ability to insist on any particular technology. And at the same time, we don't have that same kind of imperative to provide a solution ready to go for them. So we don't have the requirement for that. I'm sure something similar would be available for other platforms, but we've not looked into it. Yes? Yep, absolutely. So this provides that at any point the student can delete the profile, go back to the web page and download it again.
Redownloading it resets.
Exactly. And that can be useful if we decide that we want to give them some more configuration. So we can just update the template and ask the students to re-download it. Yep, down here first.
Can he only delete the whole profile or can he just delete the wireless template?
You can override things, I believe, item by item. But when it comes to deleting the profile, you can only select the profile as a whole to delete. So if you wanted to override something, you'd have to change those settings individually. Yep.
So time has elapsed now, you have some experience with this. So what were some of the things that you changed, given that you know the Apple product now, specifically, did you change the include text password approach? And would you do anything different instead of 50 students?
Okay, so the question is, given the experience, would we do anything differently, in particular how we handle clear text passwords and scale to a larger group? Well, first of all, I'll do the larger group because this is actually our largest student group. So Trinity College is not the whole of the University of Melbourne. We have slightly over 1,000 students in total. So the other student groups aren't, they're different enough that we don't have a need for this kind of thing. Clear text passwords is still very much something we desire for the simplicity of the setup process. If we didn't include them in the profile, what would happen when you loaded the profile is that when you first went to check your email or when you first tried to get onto the wireless network, it would prompt for your password. And that prompt would have happened probably 4 times for each of the places where we've used the password. And we've decided we don't particularly like going through that step. So we would still need to include the clear text password. And from what we've looked at of all the other solutions available, none of them do provide that. And probably for good reason that you don't want to be encouraging people to be including clear text profile and configuration profiles unless you really know what you're doing, because there's a great risk that, you know, you're going to have a security incident. But I think, really, if I had to do it again, we would still probably come with something fairly simple. I think the one thing I would do differently would be to start by making it much more generic so that other people can use it more easily. And you could also use it for configuring, for instance, Macs, which use a very similar configuration profile.
Thank you.
Thank you.